Blog Talk Radio.
This is Racing Ties. You've tuned in to Racing Ties Live. My guest tonight is Benford Dwight Stellmacher Jr. So I want everyone to sit tight and join me for a show. We're going to talk to this artist and entrepreneur and see what he has going on. All right, so we will be back with more. Just hold on tight. And we're going to talk to this person and see what motivates, inspires him. So hang tight and stay with me.
My loved ones. Justice
League.
But in life, there's always a chance to grow from the struggle.
Come around and let you know what's up now. No album lately, so my mind is kinda up down. I still been taking care of my mama and them somehow. Disappeared from the scene and left my old team. Had to find a new approach to an old dream. And it's not to take a shot at my old team. I just want you to see this is me. So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do. I'm just doing everything that I can, 'cause all I wanna be is true. So please accept me for who I am, and please accept me for what I do. 'Cause there's no me without you, and all I wanna be is true. Alright, and all I wanna be is true. Apologies if I ever let you down. So much shit that happened that it's hard to talk about. So many losses that my lawyer said don't talk about it. Just had to pray and keep it cool till I can walk about it. Came home and my sister raised a child. Kinda hurt me 'cause I could have had my own now. I lost my baby, damn, it's really getting home now. I just had to learn.
This is me.
So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do. I'm just doing everything that I can. 'Cause all I wanna be is true. So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do. To the sky, Lord, why do I cry when no one is looking? Is the blame for this pain even caused by the shame of this fame I've been given? My pride don't cause me to hide my true feelings. 'Cause I can only be real. Hey, 'cause I can only be real.
Welcome back to Racing Ties Live. Benford, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, Benford, how are you?
Yeah, I'm wonderful, Racing. How are you?
Well, that's good. Welcome to Racing Ties Live, Conversations with a Black Man.
Thank you.
Okay. So, thank you so much for being my special guest tonight. You are an artist and an entrepreneur, but there's so much more to what you do. So just go ahead and tell us what you want to be known as and what you actually do.
So I started Authentic DNA. It's a graphic design company. Authentic DNA actually, it stands for Authentic Designs and Apparel. And so It's a multifaceted creative agency that me and my business partner started back in 2010, actually. And we launched the apparel line in 2013. And basically, we both just made the quality decision that we just wanted to exhaust ourselves creatively and, you know, let that gift be expressed and let the world be able to experience it.
Right. Now that sounds great. Okay, and let's back all the way up. And first of all, you are a Connecticut native like myself, and we grew up like literally, you know, around the corner from each other. So let me, because I usually say to some of my guests, and you're one of them, I don't know where to begin because you just have you have a lot going on. So let's back all the way up, and let me ask, what was it, first of all, how was it being, you know, some people might not know, your father was a civil rights activist. So how was it being the son of a civil rights activist? Because I did not even realize that, you know?
So it was a very different experience, you know, growing up.
And did that kind of mold, you know, any of your thinking towards your apparel line? Because I love what your line stands for and everything like that. So did that have any effect on it? So, but I'm sorry, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but just wanted to interject that.
No problem. No, the one thing that I kind of learned from my dad, and I will say that one of the greatest influences that he had on my life was I learned that my network is my net worth. And so finding that, you know, the way that my father loved people, he loved black people, you know, and he made it his life's passion, you know, to be the voice for people, you know. And so if you correlate the two, when I started Authentic, it was basically empowering people to embrace the trueness of their identity, you know, being able to really come to grips with, you know, what is it that you're designed to do? Like our tagline is be the you that you are designed to be. Don't try to be anything else. Don't try to be anybody else. Don't try to fit in.
Right.
But really understand your identity and then let the world experience that greatness that's on the inside of you by doing what you were designed to do.
Right, exactly. And that makes so much sense. It sounds great. Wow. And I know you said that you have a business partner. Who was it that actually came up with the actual name? Was it you that came up with the name Authentic?
Well, it was actually collaborative. We had we both work here in Newport News, Virginia, and we both work in the same company. And one day I had went down, when I first met him, I went down to his desk and I saw some artwork that he had created. And I asked him a question. I said, if you could do anything, if you could create for 8 hours a day, you know, would you want to do that? And he was like, man, yeah. And that resonated. And I said, okay, well, let's make it happen. And from there, what we did was, There was something that he saw, and I can't remember. It was a passage, and it had the word authentic in it. And because at the time, I had actually had a graphic design business before Authentic, But one of my fortes is logo design. So I've always created branding and identities for, you know, small businesses, entrepreneurs just getting started and different things like that. And I wanted something that, you know, we could correlate between the two. And so when Authentic came up, it was like, that's it. Because on the graphic design side and designing a logo, I'm a graphic artist, so I wanted my clients to have something that was authentic, not a cookie cutter, you know, just anything like that. But then on the apparel side, I wanted something that I wanted people to be able to embrace their authenticity. You know what I mean?
I wanted
it to have a message within itself.
Okay. Sounds good. And you said you guys both started this in 2010?
Yes.
Okay, all right. That's great. And how has it been since then? Because I see it looks like you're picking up a lot of steam lately. So how has it been, you know, these last few years as an entrepreneur?
It has been phenomenal. To see where we have grown to and where we have grown from. One of the things that we always jokingly, you know, say to each other is it's amazing because we used to run a checklist, right? So back in the day, because we actually wanted to do, you know, so much. And so we're very, and it's a weird saying this, but we're very humble. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm one of those people where I look at where I've started from. And so I'm that person. I will always tell you, hey, start where you're at with what you have until you get more.
Exactly.
And so we started with an old school laptop. And it was funny because, you know, starting with that laptop, we would go through a checklist and we'd be like, okay, we got designs, check. We got a laptop, check. And we'd go through those things. And then we'd be like, you know what? We're just getting started. Like, even now, we feel like we're just getting started, even though, you know, we have, you know, a lot of apparel out there, because the grand scheme of things, Racine, is it's not just about the apparel. So here was the whole business model. The whole business model was, you know what, we wanted to take our artistic gift, be able to do logos and graphic design for people, flip that into doing the apparel line, and then allow that to make money, because ultimately what we want to create are called authentic centers, to where we can now bring in young people and actually teach them how to embrace their creative gifts, because growing up, you know, we didn't, we had our art teachers and different things like that, but like, we actually want to create mentoring opportunities to where now we can inspire, influence, and impact young people within
society. Wow, that sounds great. Oh my God, Vincent. That sounds wonderful. That sounds great. And, let me ask you, what ages are you going after with that?
So really, and it's funny because starting off, we really wanted to go after, like, you know, middle school to high school ages and different things like that. But the thing that happened was, you know, at the end of the day, from a mentoring perspective, you know, those are the age groups, because we want to be able to capture young people, you know, like, as they're in their developmental phases, you know, and learning about art, because I grew up, you know, drawing on the back pew in my church, you know, so I was drawing Garfield and Snoopy and, you know, everything like that.
Wait a second now, you said at church or on the church?
No, at church.
It's okay, like
everything for me became a canvas. I was asking my mother for notebook paper so I could draw, and, you know, and it was really great. So, but being able to have those things, like, I don't know if you remember, but back in the day when we used to see those magazines that would actually have like the little contest with the little turtle and the pirate,
Yes, I remember those.
So those are the things that I grew up practicing drawing and stuff.
Right.
And so, but it became, for me, it kind of became funny because from a mentoring standpoint, those are the young people that we wanted to reach out to. But
exactly.
the more that we started looking at, like, everyday people that I'm running into, like, I find myself just asking, you know, like, what is it that you love to do? Because here was the most pivotal thing that I had read one day. And it was in a book called You Can Do It. And I saw this excerpt, and it said basically how majority of heart attacks happen on Monday mornings.
And it said
because people are going and they're doing things that they really don't have a desire or a heart to do. And what I realized was how many times in our lives have we basically prostituted ourselves for a paycheck? You know what I'm saying? When I got out of school, you know, I graduated in architecture, you know, from Hampton University, started working in the shipyard, and it was like, was that really my passion? No, it wasn't. But I didn't know at the time, because when I went into architecture at Hampton, I didn't know anything about graphic design until my fifth year. And so, of course, it was too late to switch my major then. You know, I was I'm not changing my major, you know.
Right.
So, but that's the, you know, the way that we started looking at it. And now it's really about helping people to, inspiring people to pursue their passion and their purpose, not just settling for, you know, I got to work here. No, there's so much more on the inside of you that the world needs to experience.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up, Benford. Some people may not know, I wrote a book called Success Looks Good on Me, and I talk about those exact same things in the book. So let me ask you, how did you make that transition? Because I did not realize that you went from, you know, working, you know, in one area or one career and then switched over to another career. So how did you mentally make that change? And was it easy for you, or was it like a difficult thing that you actually had to, you know, mentally tell yourself to do?
Well, actually, so in totality, I haven't made that change. What happened was God began to supernaturally open doors for me at my job to where it actually happened.
So you just started having opportunities that opened that vision, and you started seeing, you know, that opportunity for yourself?
Exactly. In 2010, I made a decision to go back to school and get an associate's in graphic design. And so I went to Tidewater Community College, and going through the program, and, you know, I actually got a 4.0 out of the program. And one of the things that one of my professors asked me, they were like, why are you in this, you know, in this class? And I said, because it's a part of my curriculum. And they was like, there's nothing I can teach you. And I was like, wow. And I had never heard that before. And so I knew that I was in my God-given purpose. And so after I got my degree, I went to work, and I went to talk to my manager, and I said, hey, I said, I want to make my gift available to you guys in whatever capacity that you want to use it. And so they had a logo contest in my IT division. And there were, plenty of submissions. But here's what happened. What happened was the three submissions, one of the submissions came back, and they sent out the three submissions for people to vote on. Now, one submission had 13 votes. The second submission had like 34 votes. My submission actually had 164 votes.
Wow. Oh, my God. Serious, Benford.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so what happened was they actually took the logo that I created, and I have now been responsible for rebranding our whole IT division, and the relationship that I have with my VP, like, I've become like a creative consultant in my IT division. Whenever somebody needs logos for different applications and different things like that, they're now coming to me asking for my creativity and my imagination. And
wait a second. So let me just get this straight. So this was in a position that was not even for specifically as an art designer. This was just for in your IT.
My job title at work right now is a software development analyst.
Oh my God. And your submission got over 100 votes?
Correct.
Wow. So that was like an eye-opening, you know.
Yeah. And so now what I've done is I still work full-time at the yard, and I'm still doing Authentic DNA part-time.
Wow, that's cool.
So basically it's like a 9-to-5, 5-to-9 grind. You know what I mean?
That's great. That's great. Right, exactly. Wow. I'm going to just play a short song, and then I want to come back and I want to ask you some of the obstacles that you had to overcome to be successful, and, you know, want to find out what you would actually tell other people as far as, like, you know, some advice and what you actually tell some of the kids that you mentor. So we'll be right back. Are you still with me, Benford?
Yep.
Okay, and we'll come right back after this.
Okay.
I'm talking about you.
I'm looking for love. I'm looking for a girl. I'm looking for a love. I'm looking for a woman like you.
And I think you're gonna like it once I tell you my story. Hey girl, I think you might be the one that I've been waiting on for such a long time. Hey girl, what you say if I gave you my phone number? Maybe you can call me up later on. We can talk about, oh, so many things. You can tell me what's on your mind. I can tell you what's on my mind. I'm not trying to pressure you. I just want to get to know you. I'm not trying to waste your time. I just want to make you mine. The way you make me feel is sad, even though I don't know your name.
With a great personality, and boy, I think you got it, got it. I said, boy, I know you got it, so maybe we can chill for a while. We can leave this club and I can take you back to my house and show you all the things I like. Baby, what's your sign? Cause you're starting to blow my mind. But that don't mean we got to run. Up in the bed and listen to Miss Baker while I tell you my dreams. Do you tell me your fears? Boy, we gonna be the perfect team.
We are back with Racing Ties Live, Conversations with a Black Man. We're talking to Benford Dwight Stellmacher, Jr. Now, Benford, let's back up some. Now, what was it even like being the son of a civil rights activist? What type of impact did that actually have on your life in general? I know that you said it did, you know, mold your thinking, you know, how you kind of branded your apparel line. But what type of impact, how does that even work? Like, explain how that impacted your life.
Well, I mean, one of the ways that it did, just seeing the passion that my dad had for mm-hmm. black people, to see black
right.
people be in a position of success. You know, he actually had a business called Clear It Up Now. And basically
okay.
the business Clear It Up Now was designed off of the ability to be able to expunge people's criminal records. So if a person
oh, wow.
had a felony,
okay.
like if a person had a felony on their record, because what most people didn't realize is, let's just suppose that you got arrested, you know, and a felony was put on your record and it was thrown
mm-hmm.
out. If the charges were thrown out or whatever the case may be, the felony was still on your record, but you would actually have to get that felony expunged from your record. Because if you didn't
okay.
get expunged, you would still, whenever you would try to apply for a job. And so my father
right.
was very
right there,
adamant
right?
about, correct. So he was very adamant about, and especially with young black men being in Georgia, he spent a lot
mm-hmm.
of time in the city jails. Because
wow.
what he would do
okay.
is, because, and especially if you're incarcerated, you don't have the ability to vote. And so basically being
right.
able to expunge people's records and make sure that, you know, black men could get jobs, you know, that they could participate in the electoral process and everything like
exactly.
that. So seeing him actually, you know, do all of those things, you know, it was very inspiring, you know, and I saw him, you know, actually, I saw pictures, you know, from where my father actually roller skated from Hartford, Connecticut to Washington, D.C.
Yes, I read that. And tell us the reasoning behind that, what that was about.
If I'm not mistaken, he was he did that in order to raise money for the American Heart Association. And so my father
okay,
was
great.
Very
wow.
extreme. Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yep, so basically seeing how extreme, if you will, to say
mm-hmm.
the least, he was in,
mm-hmm.
you know, wanting to see our people move forward and progress
mm-hmm.
and, you know, have a voice, that's what it was all about for him.
Right. And you know what, for me, to know that you are the son of a civil rights activist, it wasn't like, oh, okay, I'm just going to say this and this is how I feel, but you actually had the privilege of knowing that your father was somebody who was about something and stood for, you know, what he cared about and what he was passionate about, and he actually
correct.
Took action, you know?
Correct.
So I'm thinking that had to impact you, yeah.
Yeah, and it was very eye-opening because, so to be honest with you, it was very eye-opening because majority of when me and my brother were growing up, when we would come to Georgia, we would constantly be on the go. You know, we'll be down in City Hall, we'll be at the
right.
jails, we'll be, because
exactly.
he also did a lot of campaigning for politicians. And so one of the things at his funeral that I actually saw firsthand was, I really saw how far-reaching my father's hand was in helping so many people. You know, sitting in the office of Commissioner Boone, you know, working on, you know, the programs for my father's funeral, I'm like, okay, wait a second,
mm-hmm.
this isn't normal. You know what I mean?
Having to go,
I physically had to go to Senator Donzella James' house.
Mm-hmm.
to pick up
mm-hmm.
an award, you know, for my father.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
wow.
you know, where most people are just like, okay, we're going to the church, have the funeral, and go
right,
home.
Right, right,
like,
right. No,
you know,
your father
no,
touched so many lives.
yeah.
yes, right. That you, yeah, it must have been, you know, eye-opening and, you know, a sad experience, but you're still recognizing the impact that your father had on other people's lives as well. Wow.
Correct.
Now, let me ask you, Benford, what obstacles do you feel that you had to overcome to, you know, to getting to this point in your life where you're at a point where you're, like I said, it seems like you're gaining a lot of steam with your business and your design apparel. So what obstacles did you have to overcome to get to this point?
Well, to be honest with you, there really haven't been what I would consider to be a whole lot of obstacles. I guess one of the personal obstacles that I personally encountered was growing from a place of it's what I call basically finding your identity within, and that's what authentic was really born out of, because I found my identity in the accolades of people. You know what I mean? So, like when you're constantly growing up hearing, oh my gosh, you're such a great young man, and you're this, and you're so talented, and you're so crazy, and everything like that. And one of the things, so I found myself wanting to always be in the spotlight. You know what I mean? So, at the end of the day, when I found who I was, it was not in, my identity was not based in the ideas of what other people thought. My identity became established in and through the Word of God. And so once that became solidified, that's where my confidence came from. That's where my swag came from. That's where, you know, it was, this is me. And that's, and I had to accept that and allow other people to experience the trueness of who I had now embraced as, you know, my authentic self.
That's cool, and that's how it should be. That's exactly the truth. Now, before we wind down, first of all, let me congratulate you on getting married this year.
Thank you.
Congratulations on that. And I've also noticed that you, I won't say a fitness freak, but you actually are taking your, you know, your fitness very, very serious. Tell me what your journey was like or is like with that.
It's been a really great experience. I actually, and it's funny because me and my wife kind of joke about it, and the way that it came back around full circle, I had actually started off as my wife's personal trainer. She had.
Are you kidding? Wow.
Yeah. So.
So Benford, are you telling me that I need to go find a personal trainer and maybe I? But that's
so
great, though.
Yeah. No, and it is funny because, like, I've always, you know, ever since high school, you know, I basically was always in the gym when I ran track for Bloomfield High, and then into college, I stayed in the weight room. And, you know, after graduating from college, I still, you know, had a membership.
So this is just a lifestyle for you. Right,
right. Correct. And so, you know, I have became her personal trainer. We would go, you know, running. I would, you know, was helping her. And then, once we got all booed up, you know, we found ourselves at Red Robin and, you know, the Longhorn Steakhouse. And I just started seeing, you know, the weight pick up. Like, I was maintaining a weight of, like, 200, like, solid. And then the next thing you know, I looked and I'm, like, up at 240. And I was like, wait a minute.
Wow,
you know?
Are you serious?
Yeah. And so one of the things I had made a decision, like after we got married and everything, and once we had came back from my father's funeral, you know, I was like, okay, you know what, we have got to do something about this. And so she had made the recommendation. We had actually found a Groupon to kickboxing. And that was the catalyst. And so started kickboxing with I Love Kickboxing, and it was really, really great. It was very high intensity in the whole nine. And what really did it for me was I started doing that on like a Thursday. And that Thursday and then that following week, I literally committed myself because I said, I want to see what I can do with my body within a month's time. And so I went and started going to the gym, started eating right, started eating better, you know, And I wasn't completely denying myself of everything, but the biggest thing for me was because I understood consistency is the key. There's a
right. Well, let me ask you, how many times did you go to the gym during a 1 week period of time, or how long did you stay there?
So my regimen was so on Monday I did kickboxing at 5 o'clock in the morning. On Tuesday I did Planet Fitness at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I would only be at the gym for an hour, hour and a half.
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
so every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I was at Planet Fitness, and every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, I was doing kickboxing. And
okay,
so,
great. And when you say you ate better, what changes did you make within your diet when you say you ate better or more healthy?
So basically, because of my body, I really started cutting out a lot of sugar. And when I say cutting out a lot of sugar, just meaning snacks. Like I love snacking. Like my favorite, like I love Reese's Cups, Snickers, and Twix. Okay. I'm the type of person where, you know, for breakfast, you know, I was having a boiled egg and, you know, or having like a flatbread sandwich from Subway. And then for lunch, we would do like salads and different things like that. And like a lot of tuna, I like tuna, mm-hmm. sort of protein, you know, and different things like that. But for dinner, here was the biggest part. For dinner, I was making sure that I was not trying to get full, but I was just providing small portions to nourish myself, you know, so I would still do like baked chicken and, you know, grilled chicken, you know, and fish and different things like that. I really don't eat, my wife doesn't eat beef or pork, so we really don't, there's no beef or pork.
So you didn't have a problem
here.
With that, right?
Correct.
And so
and drinking,
after
actually,
lunchtime?
I was drinking more water.
Oh, yeah, that's a good deal, too. That's a good deal. And what were your results after a month's time?
So my results, I lost 10 pounds. After a month's time, I went down from 240 to 230, and I literally saw my body, you know, transforming. And so
I saw your before and after pictures.
Yeah, and so here was the one thing that I would share with anybody. There's a principle that's called 3 D's, and it's desire, discipline, and delight.
Okay.
We all have a desire. There's always a goal that you want to accomplish, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then the delight is seeing that goal accomplished. But that middle D is what gets everybody, and it's that discipline.
Yep.
And what I learned through this process was consistency is the key. And discipline is not such a nasty word. Discipline just means that you are establishing boundaries that will now ensure that you get to go from that desire to that delight.
Right. Wow, Benford. I think you really answered the question for a lot of people. Because that discipline is what trips people up. Just like you said, the discipline is what trips people up, because just that waking up at 5 o'clock and 5:30 in the morning, that takes some really strong willpower and, you know, determination to do that alone, just so they can stay consistent. Wow. So,
it's a matter of the one thing that I know about us is you'll do what you want to do. That's the reality.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So you can't tell me, oh, man, I can't wake up at 5:30 in the morning. No, you can.
Oh,
if
yes,
you
can.
If you make a quality mental decision.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. If you
mm-hmm.
make that quality
right.
mental decision and you commit to it, here's the question that we always have to internally ask ourselves. How bad do I want to see the delight of my desire accomplished? Because nobody can make the choice but you. And so when I made that commitment in my mind, I did stuff to prepare for that commitment. So I was setting my alarm clock the night before for 4:45. I was taking out my gym clothes the night before because I know myself. So I hate when it's cold in the morning, and I know how much I love the warm feeling of that comforter, you know, when I'm up underneath of it. You know, so I would put my phone across the room and set the alarm.
Wow.
I wouldn't put it on my nightstand.
To get up.
So I have to get up. And then because I knew that I was doing something, once I got up to go turn it off, I was like, okay, Dwight, let's get it. Let's go do what we said we was going to do. Because what you also don't realize, when you tell yourself that you're going to do something and then you don't do it, you're practicing a form of lying to yourself and you're sabotaging yourself.
Yeah. Right. That's so true. That's so true.
What I say I'm going to do.
Exactly. I was just going to say, you answered so many questions for so many people who are wondering, well, you know, I want to do this and I'd like to do this, but no, you have to be committed and you have to have that discipline to, like you said, get, you know, tell us those 3 D's again, Dwight, because you actually answered my last question for you. What is some advice for others? But those 3 D's do it for me. So what? Tell us those 3 D's again.
Is desire, discipline, and delight.
Desire, discipline, and delight. I am going to jot that down and remember that.
Yep.
Now, Dwight, tell us how someone can see your designs, how they can contact you, and, you know, and tell us exactly what you do. You do logo design and I don't want to limit you. So tell us what you actually do and how someone can see your work and get in touch with you.
Okay, so the top website is AuthenticDNAStudio.com. And basically, when you go to AuthenticDNAStudio.com, you'll see 3 actual areas. You'll actually see the studio, which is a representation of our graphic design side of the business, where we do, you know, I design posters, business cards, flyers.
Okay.
You know, we even do T-shirts for, you know, family reunions and different things like that.
Right. And
we don't have that stuff.
Your work looks great.
Thank you. And so... Yeah. But you'll also see the apparel, which is Authentic DNA Apparel, and you can get to that through AuthenticDNAApparel.com as well. And then we also have the fine art side. So I'm in the process now of getting ready to look at print reproduction for some of my artwork that I plan on launching here sometime in the very near future in 2017. And so to contact me, I am on Facebook as Benford Dwight Stellmacher Jr. And my email, I can be reached at AuthenticDNAStudio@gmail.com.
AuthenticDNAStudio@gmail.com. And say the website for us once more.
AuthenticDNAStudio.com.
AuthenticDNAStudio.com. Wow, great, wonderful. Thank you so much, Dwight, for being my guest tonight on Racing Ties Live, Conversation with a Black Man. I could sit here and just yap and talk it up with you all night. You know, it's I love having guests who have positive energy, who are trying to motivate and inspire other people, and that's exactly what you're doing with your Authentic DNA Apparel. And, you know, I just want to say congratulations on all of your success as a new husband, as an entrepreneur, as an, you know, designer, on everything, you know.
Thank you.
Want to say thank you and also congratulations on everything. Now, I hope everyone goes to check out your website, and I hope that you join me again on Racing Ties Live, Conversations with a Black Man, because you're so inspiring.
Thank you, and I definitely will, and I wanted to say thank you for just the opportunity to share, you know, my story, my passion, and my life. And if I can leave everybody, you know, with this one thing, truly, just simply be the you that you were designed to be and let the world experience the greatness on the inside of you.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dwight. It was great having you on tonight. And that's great motto. Thank you so much.
Talk to you
soon.
All right.
Benford Dwight Stellmacher Jr., thank you so much for being on Racing Ties Live tonight. Conversations with a Black man, so inspiring, so motivating. I want to also thank Maxine Jones, former founding member of En Vogue, for giving me this platform. This will air on Max Radio. You can catch this as a repeat, the recorded show. I want you all to check me out as well on my website, thinkblessed.com. That's THINKBLESSED. And check out my book, Success Looks Good on Me. And you can find that on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. Until then, I just want to tell everybody you don't get chances, you take them. So take a chance, look at, you know, everything around you and create your own opportunity. Don't be, you know, just satisfied and settle for what's right in front of you, but go out and create your own opportunities and you'll never know, you know, what could actually happen. So until then, I want to thank everybody, like I said, for joining me here on Racing Ties Live. I had a great show tonight. I really appreciate you coming on. And I want you to join me next time for one of my shows, Don't Be Salty. We have Money 101 or Conversations with a Black Man on Racing Ties Live. Until then, you guys have a great night and a wonderful weekend. I'm Racing Ties.